Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. The reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. As we continue our sermon series, You Are Not On Your Own, the Reverend Dave Wilkie reflects on the will of God.
The reading is taken from Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, the parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him."
Just a perfect day, drink sangria in the park, and then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day, feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep.
So, hello St. James's Church. I want to just open with that song and ask you a question. What makes a day perfect for you? Is it to visit a zoo? Or is it something else? I mean, what comes to your mind? I want to say, what would be your perfect day? So we have some response already. So I was going to say, I might come around with a mic. And I'm going to run around. What would be your perfect day?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, yes. Anyone else? Oh, I'm going to have to really run around now.
Having a lovely walk in God's creation.
Yes, God's creation. Thank you. I saw a hand up over here. You need to raise it again because I've lost my way. Was it this side? Oh, I'm back over here.
A phone call from family.
A phone call from your family. That's just a wonderful thing. Anyone else?
Spending time with people I love.
Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Could be grand, could be tiny, it doesn't. Children, any perfect day, what would it be? What might be your perfect day?
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach, yeah? Anything?
I don't know.
Not sure. A water park.
A water park?
You just like that idea, don't you? You're like, I've never been to a water park.
England beating Germany in football.
Yeah, the Lionesses. 5 p.m. tonight, everyone. It's going to be a perfect day, maybe. No, that's really good. So it can range from like the simple things to the most, like, the small things, like a phone call. That was such a beautiful answer. Some people might think it's doing whatever they wanted, having no stress, no pressure, being in a beautiful place, a holiday, having every need met and want, or even Taunton football team winning the league again. There's all sorts of different things that might make a perfect day for you. Now, 500 years ago in 1516, Sir Thomas More wrote a book that tackled this question. He called his book Utopia. In it, he described an island and the inhabitants of this island. The book suggested that the society on this island was perfect. So what does it feature in this book? It says that a nation was based on rational thought, so nothing too crazy. People sharing property, interesting. A healthy distrust of wealth and gold. No class distinctions. It's quite forward thinking. No poverty and little crime or immoral behavior. And a religious tolerance, so allowing everyone to get on with everyone else. So the next question, based on that, is what might a perfect society look like for you? Now, I'm not going to run around for this one because I'm out of breath. Well, if you could imagine a perfect society, what would it look like? Would the Tories be in power, or would it be Labour or even Lib Dem? What kind of economic system might you think of? How would humans treat one another? How would we live together? How would we treat the environment, animals, and nature? What attitudes and beliefs would people hold? Would everyone be Christian? And what would happen with the inequality of wealth? Would there be a mass redistribution of some kind? I wonder what you think the perfect society would look like. Now, this morning we had the brilliant story of Jonah and the fish. I loved the fish when it came, just took him. And this boat, I mean, this is an engineering feat of magnificence. Look at that. How did you balance on the water in that? Anyway, it was very good. Jonah here, he hates the Ninevites. He does not want good to come of them. They're his enemies. He doesn't like them. He runs away. He doesn't want anything to do with them. And then when he's forced to go back, he's not happy about what happens. He's not happy that they get forgiven. And he goes and sits under this plant and grumbles away, and then God makes the plant wither and die. And then he grumbles to God. So his perfect society is one in which the Ninevites don't exist or are punished. But God says to this to him, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 320,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" See, we have a generous God, a God that sees the whole world and all his children in it, and he loves them all. And perhaps his idea of a perfect world and a perfect society and God's kingdom might not always align with us or with mine. And I have to admit that. The kingdom of God might just look a little different. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. It was a key part of his teaching. Many of Jesus' parables reveal a kingdom based on values of God, where the weak and vulnerable matter, where people are burdened by guilt that can be forgiven and released from the grip of shame. People's intentions matter, not just what they look like, and all are loved and welcomed. If I look at our politics today and the debate over the Tory leaders, I'm kind of struggling to match up what I see Jesus talking about the kingdom of God and some of the proposals. And politics as a whole. One of the parables we talked about last week was the mustard seed. So he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, and yet it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches." Now, the point of this parable, I think, as he's saying, it's all about small steps. Small things, small seeds, small beginnings, small actions that have a big impact. Often we think down on ourselves, you know, it's just little old me, what difference can I make to this whole world? How can I make God's kingdom come here on earth? And yet, do you know what? Today we live in a deeply connected world. There's a town in China where a disease maybe started and it affected the whole world. There's a war in Ukraine. And it might cause global hunger. We're in a deeply connected world where one person can say something on Twitter and lose their job as a result, or start a cascade of riots. We're in a deeply connected world now, and actually you are far more effective than you'll ever know. If you smile, it's contagious. If you're just like, ugh, all the time, that's also contagious. You are a deeply infectious person as a human being, and not just to your closest friends and family, but to your friends' friends. Research has shown that if a friend's friend starts to get fit, exercise, then statistically you are more likely to as well. And if the people around you start to put on weight, you're more likely to put on weight. There's that interaction, it's subconscious, you don't even realize. And so what might it look like as Christians if we start living to how Jesus actually taught us to live? Like if we woke up one day and the 2 billion Christians that are here on earth thought, actually, I'm going to give all my money to this. There'd be a massive redistribution of wealth and the global markets wouldn't know what to do with it and probably crash and different things would happen. There'd be a huge impact. And if Christians everywhere decided just to love their neighbor, and it's just small acts could change the whole world. So today we had the parable about the 2 sons. Now this one is it's quite a tricky one. So there's 2 sons, one who says, yes, I'll do it, and then doesn't do it. And another one who says, no, I won't do it, but then does do what his father asks. And he's calling out the religious elite. He's saying to them, you know, you look the part. You've got all the image and all the, you're doing the right stuff. You're saying the right prayers, all this stuff. But actually, your heart's not in it. You're not doing the right stuff. And actually, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, they're in a place where they don't look perfect. They don't look right. The Ninevites. And yet God forgives and acts through them. It's a bit like this optical illusion. Sometimes you might see a pretty young lady, or you might see an old witch. You know, how we view people. Don't let appearances deceive you. Because Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows their heart. And actually, we are called to love, to forgive, to be a generous people. And those small acts will help God's kingdom come here on earth. There is a brilliant image of God's kingdom here in the Bible, in Revelations. And I just want to read it to you. And as I read it, I want you to think about actually, how am I going to help God's kingdom come here on earth as in heaven? It's not about a future reality. It's about the new Jerusalem coming down to earth, the earth being changed. We are here to change this world. So I'll just read it to you. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned but for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the former things have passed away. And the one seated on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So ask again, I wonder what would make the perfect day? And what small thing can we do today to help that perfect day become a reality and align ourselves with God's will instead of just our own? Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.